welcome to Copper Country Today, heard Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock on 97.7 The Wolf, 8 o'clock on AM 1400 WCCY, and 9 o'clock on KBear 102.3. Our program is brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, providing the highest quality in medical care to help their patients live longer, healthier lives. You can also listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at QNRReport.com. In the second segment, I will be speaking with the District 3 candidates in the Houghton County Commissioner's race, Tony Pinter and Mark Kempinen. But now, I will be speaking with the candidates for District 1, and first off will be Mr. Rick Kasperzak. Mr. Kasperzak, thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome, Sam.
For those who might not know you, give us a little background about yourself.
Okay. I actually moved up here in 1993. I came up here on vacation and didn't go home. I came up here in August, and you know what it's like in August? It's absolutely gorgeous, and once I got here and I had some friends up here that gave me a little tour and decided I was going to stay. In fact, I even told my wife, I'll look for a place for us to live, and why don't you go back and get our stuff? That's pretty much how I ended up here in 93. I worked briefly for the Daily Mining Gazette as a sports writer in 97 and 98 while I was, I'm a cook by profession.
Mm-hmm.
And then I left the area briefly to go to Arizona to train to be a chef. And after I came back, bought a house in Calumet in 2004. Then I worked for about 7 years for Pat's IGA as the dairy and frozen manager before I was able to land a chef's job. And that's what I've been doing ever since. So,
In terms of the campaign and the race, what are some of the ideas that you're basing your campaign on?
Well, the big issue, it seems like, from the voters that I've spoken to, and I've talked to quite a few, the big issue for them is the millage for the Houghton County Medical Care Facility because it expires in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, there are a lot of voters that have friends or family there, or, you know, people that work there. So that's a big issue for them. They want to make sure that millage gets put on the ballot in 2016, and then they have a chance to renew that millage. So that's I guess, the main focus of my campaign at this point is, you know, promising to make sure that that millage makes it on the ballot, and subsequently any other millage renewals that come up for renewal, I'm promising to make sure that those get put on the ballot for the voters to decide.
In terms of any other issues that are going on within your district or within the county, are there any things that you want to see changed?
Well, of course, you know, a lot of people like to get more jobs here. I would like to see more jobs here too. I think everybody would be, if I could promise to add 1,000 jobs to the area, boy, I'd be in like Flynn. But, of course, that's a complicated issue. So I think that's something that I'd like to maybe work with the business community on and see if we've got some ideas among the business community about how to attract jobs to the area, how to expand existing jobs or existing businesses in the area so that we can add jobs that way. But, you know, jobs are, that's a very complicated and very involved issue. So I guess that would be, you know, the next thing on the list is finding a way to attract jobs to the area.
You're listening to Copper Country Today, here with my guest, Rick Kasperzak, who will be running in the District 1 race for the Houghton County Commissioners. A huge topic that's been going on for quite some time, for the last several months, is regarding the Houghton County retirement plan, which ran into some issues regarding the unfunded liability being really close to $10 million. And you have the county employees who are adamant about not making any concessions. And Commissioner Scott Alla has said several times that if the situation gets worse, taxpayers will have to pay the price. What's your take on the situation, and how do you think the county should handle it?
Well, I've read the MERS report That's the Michigan Employee Retirement System. I read that report, and I'm not really sure what the issue is. And my take on it is this, and somebody will have to, you know, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but what happened was in 2009, the state set up this retirement plan where we would fund that retirement plan to 100% within 30 years. We're 5 years into that plan. At the current rate, I believe it's 63%. We're funded 63%.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, we're on track to reach that 100% fund within the 30-year target. So this wasn't a plan that was meant to be funded 100% from the get-go. There is the possibility that we could fund it to 100% earlier than that 30 years. There's only two ways to do that, either concessions by county employees or raising property taxes. And honestly, as long as we're on target for that 30-year funding, I really don't see the issue.
I mean, Commissioner Scaala has mentioned that if the unfunded liability keeps increasing, then to him, and according to the numbers, it wouldn't seem like it's on track.
Okay, well, I guess, you know, that part, maybe it's because I haven't been immersed in that issue long enough, but from what I understand, it started out at less than 63%. It's up to 63%.
Yeah.
It's on track to hit that 100% by, from what I was able to interpret from the report, and it's 25 pages long, so I might have missed something.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like it's on track to reach that 100% on time, on target, 30 years. And there is a possibility that it's actually in better shape than it looks. The state is only going to kind of do a checkup. They'll do a checkup every 10 years. So we'll find out in 5 years if that 63% is, you know, accurate or not. But I'm going to point out that when the state set that up in 2009, the economy was in worse shape than it is now.
Yeah.
So
there's
a chance that projection is actually very conservative, and it might be higher than it is now. We won't find out for five more years.
Would you even think about just dropping MERS altogether?
I think it's kind of early in the process to do that. I would say our best bet is to not panic right now. I don't think this is a time to panic and ditch the system or do something completely different. We're only 5 years into a 30-year plan.
Mm-hmm.
My opinion is that we should wait for another 5 years. Then the state will come in and reassess the situation. We'll look at the percentages, and maybe at that point we'll have to say, well, you know, now we're 10 years into it, and we're not going to make it 30 years, and we have to do something different. Or, you know, say it's catastrophically wrong. I don't see how that's going to happen. I mean, like I say, in 2009, when they set it up, the economy was in worse shape. The projections probably were based on the economy at that point. The new projection won't come out for five more years. We don't know exactly what the economy is going to be doing, but in the last 5 years, it has picked up steam. So in theory, that 63% is probably a little on the low side. So, my opinion is let's wait. Let's wait five more years. We'll take a look at the projections in five more years, see where we're going, and then we might have to make some changes at that point. But I just don't see why we should scrap plan when we're just starting it.
Changing gears on another topic that not only has been getting a lot of attention locally, but statewide is road funding. Now, we don't have to get to it on a statewide basis because obviously situations are different. And after this historic winter that we had, it left the Houghton County Road Commission in the red very quickly. And it even put a dent into how much they could spend for this past summer. What do you feel the county should or could do to help out with that situation?
Well, I'm sure everybody here would love to see an improvement in roads. Don't know that the county board really has a whole lot that they can do within their realm of authority. Really what it comes down to is if we want to do any kind of improvements around here on a county basis, it's going to take money, and there's only one way the county raises money, and that's property taxes. So as far as I know, from on the county level, unless people are willing to kick in a little bit extra on, for a millage to support the road commission, I really don't know that there is much that the county board can do. Of course, hopefully we can keep up some pressure on our state legislatures to our representatives and that sort of thing to help us out a little bit. I mean, that's part of the problem. The last 4 years or so, the county has seen a decrease in revenue sharing from the state, and that puts a lot of local governments on a crutch,
mm-hmm.
Houghton County especially, because we don't have a lot of resources here to start with. So we're highly dependent on state aid, and I think the county's done a pretty good job so far of managing that shortfall. But I think last winter is an example of why the state needs to revisit their commitment to local government.
Alrighty, and Mr. Kasperzak, the people going out to the polls on November, what would you like to say to them right now?
I guess I would say that I'm a representative of the people. I want to represent all the diverse opinions and thoughts and the voters of my district. I don't have an agenda. I just want to make improvements in Houghton County, especially in my district. And I'm hoping that the voters of my district recognize the effort that I'm putting in trying to get elected and collecting ideas and talking to voters, and I hope that shows in the polls.
All right, well, that will wrap up this segment of Copper Country Today. Thank you to Mr. Rick Kasperzak for joining me today on today's program. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sam.
His opponent in the election is Eugene Londo, and now we will speak with him. Hello, Mr. Londo. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Sam. Nice to be here.
For those who don't know you, give us a little background information about yourself.
Okay, I am a lifelong resident, born in the UP, a little town called Wakefield on the western end. Went to junior college at Gogebic, which is moved all the way over here and doing stuff on this end of the UP now. And from there, I got into the underground mining industry, and that's where I spent most of my life. Moved up to Marquette County, lived there for 20 years, and then I purchased the business in Calumet here. And this is home now.
Talk a little bit about the campaign that you're going to be running, and what are some of the ideas, some of the beliefs that you want to emphasize in talking with some of the voters in the area.
I'm a small government guy. Over the years, you've heard the old saying that. If you want to get involved at the local level. Well, this is it, and I believe that. So that's the reason I'm throwing my hat in the ring here. Now, I really don't like to see what's going on with our country right now. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to change anything, but at the end of the day, if it starts at the local level, that's why I'm here.
Are there any issues that you've been, from talking with the voters within your district, are there any things that they're really concerned about that they came and they told you?
There's, on the way here, as a matter of fact, I got a phone call from somebody who was told that Tammy Leto had heard from my opponent that I'm opposed to the medical care facility and keeping it and that I'd like to sell it. Well, I didn't think when I got in at this level that there would be what we consider dirty politics, but my opponent doesn't even know me. He's never met me. He has no idea who I am. And I'm not opposed to selling the medical care facility. Matter of fact, if it's a standalone thing and it's a millage that's supporting it, I think my father, his last few years of life, spent his last year and a half, 2 years of his life in a similar facility in Gogebic County. And I think they're wonderful facilities, and I think there's no way anybody could accuse me of wanting to not support it.
So do you think that there's any, I mean, specifically, I know it might just be the whole dirty politics, but do you think there's any reason behind it? Because you sound like you strongly support one way.
I do. Yeah, I do. I think it's a wonderful facility, and I do support it. You would like to make it as much a standalone operation as it can be, but am I opposed to it? No, and I don't know how anybody would think that I was.
In terms of, there's a lot of other things about, besides the medical care facility. Are there any things that you would like to see changed, improved, upgraded, whether it would be within your district or within the county?
Well, Sam, if you're asking me if I'm entering with an agenda, I'm not. I have no agenda that I'm pushing here. I believe in small government, and but I have no agenda. Sure, are there things I'd like to see better? I flew out of here about 10 times last year, and a lot of times my flight was stranded in Chicago. I'd like to see us be able to get better at stuff like that. But other than that, there's not any one agenda. I think for the weather we have here, the flying in and out of here, it's a difficult thing, but they do the best they can with what we're exposed to.
Is there any way you could see maybe funding being diverted towards the airport, or any way that the county could get involved? I know that there was talk about a new terminal, and that got shot down. What's your take on that in terms of the new terminal?
You know what, Sam, I don't know that I have an opinion on that yet. I'm against small government. I believe that as many of these facilities and operations should be standalone, and, you know, that's just my opinion and where I stand.
And so explain to people about having a standalone government.
That means it pays for itself.
Do you feel like the government right now, the Home County, is paying for itself?
All the operations? I guess I don't know the inside of all of them. I don't know if I can answer all of them. No, I don't know that.
Changing gears and talking about a subject that's gotten a lot of talk, it would be the Houghton County retirement plan. And with the liability increasing and reaching up to $10 million in unfunded liability, and then you have the Houghton County employees who are saying they're not taking any cuts on their pensions, and, you know, Commissioner Scott Alla talking about this may have to fall on the backs of the taxpayers. What's your take on this situation?
It's not only a mess here, it's a mess all over the country. At the end of the day is, you know, these people were promised something, and all of a sudden the promises appear to want to go away. I believe that people are going to have to start thinking out of the box on how we're going to fund this. These people were promised certain things. It's like I say, it's looking like the money's just not there. So we have to think out of the box, draw more industry here. Let's do what we can to do what we got to do to give people what we promised them, and be careful going forward. Don't let it continue to happen that these programs are promised and unfunded. Having said that, people should take a look at who was in charge when this happened. That's the big question, and take a good look at that.
But if it gets to the point where the liability, the unfunded liability, keeps increasing, and, I mean, do you foresee a situation where taxpayers might have to foot the bill?
You know, I don't know. I don't know. I, I can't see
because if
when we
if,
say taxpayers pay for everything in government. So at the end of the day, is it going to be some type of a tax? Maybe. Is it going to be directly footnoted right to that issue? I don't know. But this may be something. Well, look at the city of Detroit. You know, we kept giving and giving and giving, and then they're bankrupt. Now these programs are bankrupt. How do we? If I can't really say what my opinion is on that. I just think people are going to have to get together and think out of the box on how this is going to be taken care of.
Well, what I'm saying is if you were in that position and you were elected and you would obviously have a say in the matter, and you're saying these people were promised such and such, but the unfunded liability is getting worse and worse. There is a breaking point.
And if the unfunded liability is getting worse and worse, what are the people doing about it right now who are in there right now? And maybe that is an issue that we'll have to look at, and one that I'm going to have to think harder at, because I really haven't really focused on this alone.
You're listening to Copper Country Today, here with my guest, Mr. Eugene Londo. Let's head to another issue it's been mostly statewide, but we'll concentrate it in terms of the county. We talked a little bit about the road funding and what kind of ways do you think with the historical winner that we had and the commission, the road commission being in the negative, you know, a couple months in, what kind of ways do you think the county could help out and in any way, shape or form that you could see?
Yeah, again, you know, the roads are how they're repaired. There's a system they use where they have a group of people that go out and rank the roads and mm-hmm. determine how and when and where they're going to be repaired and in what order. Maybe they have to redo the system. I don't know enough about it to say, but it's an issue. But then again, I've been spending a little time down in some of the larger cities, and if you think we have bad roads, you ain't seen nothing. You get down lower Michigan, some of the huger cities, there's some big issues down there also. Where are we going to get the money? I don't know. We got to create revenue by creating businesses in the state of Michigan.
It seems like it's been an issue, just the economic development of this area. What kind of ways do you think the county could help out and get involved in bringing more business? I mean, it doesn't have to exactly fall.
Number one, I spent a good part of my life in the underground mining industry. I restored a it's called an Edison Jeep that was I got from White Pine, and I've been putting it in all the UP parades and promoting it to promote mining in the UP. How do we do that? We go back to our roots. You know, the mining companies back in the day built all this huge infrastructure, and now we're trying to maintain it. The only way we're going to maintain it is we try and create jobs and get mining back. And, of course, we've got the logging and the renewable resource stuff. But whatever we got to do to draw revenue here is, you can't pay it if you don't have it. So,
is there a specific maybe sector that you think, you talked about the mining industry, do you think there's a specific sector that if the county targeted this, it would probably bring more jobs?
Oh, underground mining for one. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We've got it here. We have enough copper to supply the world for many, many years. Let's focus on that.
And in terms of the Michigan Tech's involvement in bringing jobs, how do you think maybe they could do?
Michigan Tech at one time had a mining division in their school there. Maybe we got to look at that again. I don't know, but there's a wonderful university there. They had their job fair the other day, and they tell me that there were more companies here than ever. And I was speaking to some people who are in the know on this, and said there's more here than there are at some major universities. It's nice to see. And what I thought was really nice about that, I was driving through town to see all the young people dressed up Mm-hmm. Girls dressed up in nice looking outfits and guys in suits and ties, and it's nice to see.
When the people go out to the polls in that first week of November on that Tuesday, why should they vote for you?
Again, back to what I said in the beginning, I'm a small government kind of guy, and I support mining, and I think I'm just an honest person.
All right, well, that'll wrap up this segment of Copper Country Today. I would like to thank Eugene Londo for joining me on today's program.
Thank you, Sam.
Stay tuned for the second segment of Copper Country Today.